Welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'm Debbie Giorgiani along with Jerry Usher. And as we always say, in case you're brand new to this program, and you are the teacher here. And we want to hear from you. We introduce the topic. You weigh in with your life experiences. We all learn. We all walk away from this brief hour together. A little bit changed, hopefully a little bit closer to God. And Jerry, I always love these part twos because I want to see how many of our fine Take Two family members will call back today, those that were hanging on the line yesterday when the clock ran out.
Yeah, that happens occasionally. We hate it when that happens because we want to try to get all of you on the program. But we did have some hanging on, and there were some great takes among them. So if you were on the line at the end of yesterday's show, Ryan Penny, our call screener, will put you at the front of the line. But you don't have to have even listened tomorrow. We're talking about part two of video games. Do you play video games? Are there some dangers there? Are they okay? Are there limits that you place on yourself, upon your kids? Debbie, we had some great calls and some great ones that didn't even get on the air, and I do hope that they call back today.
Yeah, like Carol and Mary and Frank and Nana and Steven, and oh, it keeps going on and on. Virginia and Mary, and wow. Folks, if you were on yesterday, and we are so sorry, we try to go very quickly on the show, but we give everybody ample time to share their takes about the topic. Please call back. And Ryan Penny, our call screener, is so awesome. He'll say, were you hanging on the line yesterday? Yes. Okay, we're going to put you at the front of the line. I just love that. You just get booted up to the front of the line. That's really cool. All right, here's the number, 833-288-3986. It's part two of playing video games? How much is too much? Are we addicted to video games? Are they dangerous for us? All sorts of angles that video games play in our lives. Maybe they're helpful. Maybe they let us escape a little bit about what's going on in our lives and a chance for us to just unwind. Maybe it's too much. Maybe it's ruined our relationships, our marriages, our home life, our schoolwork, whatever. We want to hear from you. 833-288-3986.
Yeah, yesterday we did have a couple callers who mentioned the impact it had on their schooling. One, I believe, was high school, and the other one was in college. And if I recall correctly, Debbie, we had when we signed off the show, one of the callers was going to share how I believe their spouse left them because they played too many video games, and another how video games sort of morphed into an addiction to pornography. Ooh. So, folks, this is a very serious issue here, and we want to hear from you. What is your take on this? Because not only did Debbie and I learn from you and the show team, but your fellow listeners, the Take Two family, they're waiting to hear from you if you have a take on this, because you could really educate, inform, and inspire. So again, it's 833-288-3986.
And we're not asking you to out yourself or anybody else that you love, but let's really talk about it so we can be educated. And remember, when we share as a Take Two family, we all have a similar goal in mind. We're all trying to get to heaven, you know, fix our eyes on Jesus, stay focused. So we care about one another. We want to help each other and to help our souls in the process, which is very important. So we definitely respect your experiences. We value the takes that you bring to the show, and we need you, because without you, there would be no Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Oh, Jerry and I could monopolize the mics, you know, for an hour. Absolutely, we could do that, but we don't want to do that. We want to learn from you. So please call in at 833-288-3986. Why were you chuckling there?
Well, yeah, you and I could spend the whole hour every day just sort of gabbing between ourselves, discuss amongst yourselves, but we don't want to do that. As Debbie, and this show really, it's been driven by you since day one. And Debbie, it's hard to believe on the 15th of this month we'll be 2 months away from 5 years. See what you've done, Take Two family. In 5 years, you have been such an important part of the program that you have gotten to this very beautiful, wonderful 5-year mark milestone on June 15th. So we owe it a lot to you. We owe a lot to our affiliates who carry the program, the show team. Debbie mentioned Ryan on the phones. We got Jeff Burson and Michael Birchfield doing their respective duties as well. So it takes an entire team, and it takes the Take Two family to make this show go at 833-288-3986.
This is part two of the discussion on video games. So if you have something to share about video games, any aspect of video games, playing them, purchasing them, whatever, We are throwing them out the window out of your house. Anything you have to say, we want to hear. So please fill up those phone lines. Ready? Start dialing 833-288-3986. And Jerry, may I quickly just do a little housekeeping? Okay, well, this is not really housekeeping. This is just kind of my personal little, like, I'm so excited. I looked at the calendar today, you know, we're in Holy Week, and I'm super excited because after the Mass of the Lord's Supper, tomorrow night, Lent ends. I'm so excited. And we all enter, but I love entering the Triduum. Absolutely love it. It's the shortest season of our liturgical year. I love it. I love the Triduum, and I love that I can leave Lent in my rearview mirror. Don't you know?
Yeah, Lent is always a wonderful time of the year, but as it gets closer, I think we all sort of have that longing, especially this year is so much different, obviously, for very obvious reasons. And we hope and pray. We're going to have a wonderful pre-recorded broadcast for you tomorrow and then special programming on Friday. So this is our last live show of this Lenten season until Easter Monday. So please feel free to join us, 833-288-3986.
But Jerry, share with our listeners, because we should share it a couple times, the special broadcast tomorrow on Holy Thursday. We're going to be talking about the Triduum, but we have our very dear friend and guest, Adam Bly, religious demonologist, who's coming back for this special broadcast that we are getting ready for tomorrow, that will be aired tomorrow. And it's going to be talking about, we're going to ask him, the first question we're going to ask him is, we're going to say, Adam, everybody's talking about, could this COVID-19 be diabolical in nature, or is the origin diabolical, something demonic happening? And Adam Bly, religious demonologist, will answer that question. And I think we all need to hear the answer.
Yeah, please don't miss tomorrow's program. Again, with Adam Bly, we're going to not only ask him, could the COVID-19 pandemic be diabolical, of the devil in nature? We may also get into things like, you know, is this sent by God? Is this a chastisement? How are we supposed to view something like this? So a very, very special Holy Thursday broadcast of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. But before we get to tomorrow, we got to get through today. And we've got Mary on the line and others being screened. Got a couple of phone lines open for your take on video games. You personally, your children, people that you know, what has been the impact? 833-288-3986. Us for Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you and the affiliates. Thank you all for playing your part in this program. We are going to get to your calls in a moment about video games. It's a part two. There was so much participation yesterday that we're doing it again today. So especially if you were on the line yesterday and we didn't get to you, we want to give you when you're at an airport, you get to board first. You know, you get to go on the air first here. So 833-288-3986. And as you probably don't need to be told, EWTN is going to have just a whole lot of wonderful programming coming up in the next few days for the Triduum and Easter. And the Holy Week specials actually include choral meditations and a solemn Mass of the Lord's Supper from the Basilica, the National Shrine in Washington, D.C. And that'll be live tomorrow at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. So be sure you keep your radio here and your TV also tuned to EWTN during the Triduum.
I just wanted to say Adam Bly just weighed in and shared a little bit of in addition to what we're going to be discussing for tomorrow's show. He said he also wants to talk about trusting Jesus in times of trial, trusting Jesus in times of trial. And he also wants to correct the reaction to the threat of this diabolical thing and giving so much attention to Satan at this time. It's going to be very interesting. Adam just weighed in, so he must be listening. Adam, we'll address everything, and this will be a special presentation for all of the Take Two family, all of our listeners on Holy Thursday. Perfect. I just love when everybody listens. And could somebody confirm this, please? I just saw a news break flash up on our screen, and we're doing live radio right now. It just said Bernie Sanders just dropped out of the race. So one of the Take Two family members, could you just confirm that if Bernie Sanders did? I'm just curious if Bernie Sanders did drop out of the presidential race.
Yeah, well, I saw a notification come, how they come out of the right upper right corner of most people's computers, and then it was gone. But it said Bernie Sanders live, so I didn't know what it was. But that would make sense, Debbie, for him to go on live right now. Yes. Yeah.
Maybe so. That's why we don't have too much participation. People are trying to see what's going on. And yeah, we got our producer, Michael, and our call screener, Ryan. They're right on top of it. They said that is true. He did drop out of the race. See, we not only do live shows here that spiritual in nature, but we keep you up to date with the most current news.
All righty, we're going to go to your calls here on video games, 833-288-3986. Do you play them yourselves? How about your kids? Do you put them on a time limit? Do you pay attention to the video games that they play? Or have you had maybe a son, a daughter, a grandchild get in trouble with video games? And by trouble, I just mean maybe playing too much, falling behind in their studies, things like that. What are your take on violent video games as well? 833-288-3986. And from yesterday, Mary is in Houston, Texas, listening on the EWTN app. Hi, Mary. Welcome. Glad you called back.
Hi, Mary.
Hi, how are you?
Doing
pretty
well. How are you?
Yeah. Good. I'm good. Thank you. I am happy that you guys are doing this topic because somebody needs to say all these things. All the callers yesterday were completely on point with every assessment that they made. And I'm not, condemning video games because I think that they can be done like anything with a happy balance. But for us, in our family, we had a very disturbing, very shattering situation come about when our 15-year-old son, which is my stepson, we discovered he, for several years, had been, we knew he was playing the video games a lot on his phone and on the Xbox, I believe, but that he could access pornography through both of those. I'm not sure about the online game, the phone game was an app, so I think he would just go on YouTube and to find pornography and stay holed up for 2 hours at a time. But you can access it through the Xbox, and my husband and I had no idea. And I will tell you that the ramifications from that addiction are still ongoing, and it's a completely it's a complete travesty and tragedy what happens in that case. So that's just what happened with us, and it's just for parents to know that through the Xbox you can get really ugly stuff, you know, that mm-hmm. that maybe you don't even, we don't even know, because I grew up on Pac-Man and you know the handheld things and early Game Boys, I think they were called. But you can access that kind of stuff from these gaming devices now.
Right, right. Mary, thanks again for calling back today, and we're very sorry to hear about this situation with your stepson, and we hope that it is moving in a positive direction. I'm just thinking, I don't have kids, so I can't speak to the parent-child part of this, but I think practically speaking, it just seems like this, the possibility, the temptation, the opportunity for this to happen is going to be pretty significant. You decided to, you know, take some oversight of what your son was doing, and you discovered this. But I think just the fact that they have access to online video games, and then there are all these other things online, if they have that idle time and it's just natural curiosity is going to come up, and they're going to say, wow, you know, I got a little bored from this video game right now. I wonder what else is online. So, Debbie, I don't know, you might have a thought. Go ahead, Mary, if you want to follow up.
Go ahead, Mary.
Well, that's exactly what happens. And because it's so easy for them now to know how to access pornography, they know before we do how to get to it. And so, surprise. And the way we found out was because it affected both of my daughters. And so, let me tell you, it's things are finally beginning to level out, and with a lot of help from marital counseling and spiritual direction and family counseling and prayer and getting educated on pornography, just like any other addiction. He attends SAA meetings weekly, so you know there's solutions out there, but it takes a lot of work, and it's just not. No one wants to have to go there if you don't have to, you know?
Right. Right. Yeah. And so, when you say, I agree with you, when you say it takes a lot of work, I used to work with teenagers in the youth ministry program, and a lot of the teens, they were in ongoing programs in order for them to readjust and try to stabilize their life and balance their life. And I think it's beautiful that you said you're covering it from all angles. You know, you said the spiritual direction and the counseling and different programs and stuff. And that's really important. And I kind of stress that. I hope when you were on hold yesterday, Mary, I hope you heard that. I kind of stress that, you know, sometimes people will say, well, I just don't understand why this is still happening. You know, they're in ongoing counseling, and counseling is great, but that's only a short little segment of a person's life and week and day. You know, unless you have counseling every single day to help that person along, you know, they're going to have those pitfalls. And the only thing I wanted to ask you, Mary, is, you know, you mentioned that this was your stepson, and so I'm just assuming, and correct me if I'm wrong. This son is a product of divorce, and are those areas of his life starting to, you know, is he starting to feel at peace about moving forward in his life and everything that's happened? I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but just if you can educate us, because I think sometimes, and I just say this because my son was in that position after I went through a divorce. I think sometimes our children will go to these places, and then, like Jerry said, the natural curiosity, boredom will set in, natural curiosity, all that kind of stuff. But also, it's an escape from reality for these kids, and I think that can be very dangerous if they don't have somebody, you know, walking with them during this time.
Yes, all of that. I agree with all of that. And a big driving force is the longing and yearning for deep connection. And so they find a connection with, you know, an intimacy, so to speak, with the online images, and they're getting some sort of satisfaction there. And I think, back to your question about the divorce, is his parents had been divorced since he was about one, but he did grow up with dad having custody and living with dad. So he would see mom every maybe 4 to 6 to 8 weeks, depending. And I really do feel, and I came into his life around 3 years of age, 3 or 4 he was, and I really do feel like he missed out on those important formative years of motherliness, motherhood, and nurturing. And so I do feel like there's always been that kind of gap to fill with him. So, but the pornography definitely, read any psychology or even the Bible says, right, you know, we all yearn for deep connection. And that's what I think he was searching for. And the psychology or the counseling rather only hits a part of that. You know, you really deep into the soul and examine all the reasons, all, you know, everything in your life, and figure out the why.
Well, and
let the crisis heal you.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? And Mary, real quickly, if I may, Jerry, real fast, because Mary just said something that when she stressed again, this longing for a deep connection. And look where we're at today, Mary, where all of us are being isolated, you know, locked down, you know, stay at a safe distance from one another. And we're not meant, we're not created to be like that. So I can't stress it enough, and I'm kind of transitioning a little bit, if I may, Mary and Jerry. I can't stress it enough that I think that folks really need to spend some time in the Bible and getting to know Jesus and deepening your relationship with the Blessed Mother and the angels and saints, because we long for that deep connection. And right now it's been, you know, I mean, some of us are lucky we have a whole household of people in our house, but some aren't. Some are alone in their homes right now. And that I think can be very dangerous long term. What do you think, Mary and Jerry? I'm just curious.
Completely agree. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm reminded here, and this, you know, this perceived need, whatever it is, to escape from reality, is not unique to any age group, any, you know, race or anything. I'm just reminded of G.K. Chesterton's famous line, where he said, every man who knocks on the door of a brothel is looking for God. And what he means, I believe, is kind of tied to what Jesus says in Luke 17. He who seeks to save his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. See, these things we escape into and run toward and into, these are escape mechanisms from some kind of pain. So in a sense, it's a self-preservation mechanism. We're trying to save ourselves from this. So Jesus, I believe, was the greatest psychologist. He was God, of course, but also a great psychologist, Debbie and Mary, because he said something like that. He said, you know, some of the ways we seek to save our lives are actually going to cost us our lives, potentially. So,
What do you think, Mary, what Jerry was saying?
I think it's beautiful, and I completely agree. Our healing as a family I won't say that we're completely healed, but it definitely accelerated when we really focused on the spiritual side of it and the prayer and just so much of that. That'll get you a lot farther when you completely, when you let go and let God do the bulk of the work.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That doesn't mean that we have had, we've done work, I promise, but we finally realized, you know, we have to go to him instead of just depending on another person to psychoanalyze and try to help us, you know, move on.
Right.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree more. And I think that that's a very necessary and should be the prime focus. And I thank you for saying it, Mary, because so many folks, you know, it's no judgment on anybody, but let's face it. We all want a quick fix to everything, right? So if you get a headache, what do? Call the doctor. What should I take, right? Instead of trying to figure out, is it something that I'm eating, not enough sleep, this and that, we want these quick fixes. And I really think that it takes time and effort with God at the center first, and then branch out from there, because that's where you're going to find the most peace and joy and healing and everything, you know. So just reminds me of St. Augustine, you know, when everybody's searching for something, you know, my hearts are restless until they rest in you. But it's so true. It always comes back to God. Anything else, Mary, that you can share with us? This has been most helpful today.
No. I really just want other parents, you know, sometimes I wish I had a megaphone to just open my car window and drive around the city saying, you know, please check your kids' phones and check your kids' video games and know what they're doing, because they can access so much. And it gets younger and younger, you know, 8 years old, the time that they can kind of type in the search bar on the computer, and they can put in, you know, an anatomy part, and boom, there you go. So they're introduced to it. So just know, and I'm very much on board with, like, Dr. Ray, who says don't give your kids a smartphone at least until they're much older, because it's just opening the door to so many evils that we don't even know about as parents, and they have no clue about, but they discover very quickly. So thank you for giving me the time to say that.
You're very welcome, Mary. You sound like just a great wife and mother, and you and your family, I would say, are at a decided advantage, because you discovered what was going on and you've addressed it. Like you said, you've done hard work. You have tackled this. The work is not easy, but it must be done. And your son, your stepson, is going to be the biggest beneficiary of all in this. So thank you, Mary, for your call from Houston, calling back from yesterday. We appreciate it very much. God bless you.
Thank you, Mary. Thank you. And also, too, you know, Mary's son, you know, as he gets older, you know, that he's going to have a very important story to share with others, to help others. So, you know, you kind of, you know, pay it forward from all the work that you do for things in healing. Mary, thank you so very, very much. We really appreciate it. Please join us in this discussion. Very good discussion today on video games. How much is too much? 833-288-3986.
At the eve of the Triduum in the church. That is the beautiful, beautiful season where we celebrate Holy Thursday. I think it's my favorite day of the year, Debbie, because the institution Christ gave the church and the world, the priesthood and the Eucharist. So it is. It's a very, very special day. And then, of course, Good Friday. And Holy Saturday has always been a little bit What do I want to say? I felt it like this emptiness, this loss. Mm-hmm. I think the Holy Spirit allows me to enter into the mood and the thought process that the apostles might have had. Mm-hmm. We can be sure that our Blessed Mother, you know, was very confident that her son was going to rise, but the apostles at that time probably mm-hmm. had to be. Well, remember Peter said, you know, well, let's go back to fishing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I remember with the kids that we tried to describe, because I love the Triduum. I love, you know, I used to, well, you know, this year we're not going to be able, we virtually are going to be able to participate, but I just love the Mass of the Lord's Supper and then Good Friday, you know, the stations and the veneration of the cross and then Holy Saturday. And Jerry, it's interesting because I used to talk about this with the kids in religious education and I would say, can you describe what Holy Saturday feels like for you? And they would say, gray. Gray. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? And so that's that kind of blah, empty feeling that you feel, right? Mm-hmm. That you're not quite sure. It's almost like a limbo state. You're not quite sure. And then, boom, we have the resurrection. Mm-hmm. Don't you just love that? Speaking about the resurrection, we've got Adam Bly for tomorrow's show, which we're going to be asking him all sorts of questions about you know, Holy Week and the Triduum and Easter Sunday. And then also, of course, this COVID-19, if it's a chastisement or if it's diabolical in nature, something of that. And Adam weighed in and he said, you know, Jesus said to be not afraid. And he gave us a detailed model of how Christians are to deal with death. And this week, especially in the stations, specifically teach us everyone dies and it's a reality of this worldly life. Life includes suffering. Jesus accepted the suffering allowed by God. And he's going to talk about this. I can't wait for our listeners to hear this tomorrow. The other side of dying well is the resurrection. The other side of dying well is the resurrection. Don't you just love Adam? I could listen to him all day long.
Well, that phrase dying well, I think that's something we all have to kind of focus on once in a while. Many of the great saints used to have, you know, a lot of them would have a human skull actually, you know, near their bed or something. And before they would go to bed at night, they were, whenever they would do it, they would meditate on the fact that they were going to die. Mm-hmm. And we do want to die well. And we're going to die well if we live this life well and give our lives to God and to Christ. And this Lenten and Easter season is so much about that. So looking forward to that recorded show with Adam tomorrow.
I am as well. Can't wait. So make sure you tune in regular time for Take Two tomorrow and you'll hear Adam Bly, religious demonologist. He's a friend of ours and we just respect him so very much. And our listeners love when we have Adam on. In fact, our views go sky high with Adam. So everybody just loves listening to Adam. But Jerry, today we're talking about video games and how much is too much. And why do you think it's appropriate for us to talk about video games right now? Well, come on. It's obvious. We're stuck in our homes and those video games are looking more and more attractive each and every minute of the day. And so we want to talk about this to see how much is too much, if it can be a healthy family thing that we do together, or if people are addicted to them, how is it it's taken to the next level? It's kind of a gateway into other things. So you have plenty of time to call in, but you got to start dialing now. And we're going to invite even first-time callers, folks that are not Catholic, please call in and share your take on this. All you got to do is say, I have an opinion about video games. We want to hear from you. Ryan is waiting. He's got his hand on the receiver. He can't wait to hit that button and say, hello, welcome to EWTN. I don't know how Ryan says it, but he says probably something like that. 833-288-3986. Start dialing. He just said he can't wait. See, I was right. I confirmed.
Well, and you know, when we talk about video games, we're usually in our minds. What pops up in our minds is you know, young people, probably, you know, preteen, teenage, young adults, and it's not exclusively that, but Debbie, you point out all the time, we have young people listening to this program on a regular basis. And this is something, you know, Debbie and I put this topic on the calendar, not because we wanted to come out with a particular agenda on video games. I do have some thoughts on them that they can be very, very dangerous. And I think they've contributed to a lot of violent acts, but that's just a certain genre of video game. But, you know, they, as Debbie said, they can be healthy. They can be played as a family. So if you are a younger person, a young adult, maybe a teen, and you have video games that are part of your life, call in and share, you know, how much of your life that entails. You know, do you find yourself maybe skipping out on a little bit of schoolwork or not engaging fully in family activities? Or maybe you just have it all in perfect balance. We would love to hear about that from you as well. 833-288-3986. We do have a couple phone lines open.
One thing I want to share is when my younger son, the youngest, he was about, I think about 8 or 9, and he got very hooked on video games. You know, the benign ones like the Mario Kart and all that kind of stuff, the racing ones and everything. And then he got into the more, you know, intricate ones that had, you know, all the levels and all that kind of stuff. The interesting thing I found about him was that he was able to eat and play. He was able to talk to the rest of the family and play. He was able to have friends over, and he really thought he was having a grand time having this side-by-side activity with his friends, and he could talk to his friends and play. It's very interesting how they've tried to master this art of multitasking, which we know really doesn't quite exist. You know, we think we multitask, but we're really focusing on something and we're, you know, trying to do other stuff. And it's very interesting how he was able to try and still keep up his kind of normal, you know, childlike, you know, just behavior, and then still play. But that it was such an attraction that it held him. The video games kind of just held him in a place where he really felt like I really believe it was an adrenaline thing, because you could just see he would lean forward and get super excited about it. And, you know, I wonder if that's healthy or not. Looking back, I don't know. What did you never got hooked? Well, you're too old.
Pac-Man was my big thing. Yeah.
Was it Pac-Man?
And, you know, the thing is with games like Pac-Man, you used to be able to memorize, you know, the different directions the little characters were going to go, so you could avoid them or, you know, go over that power thing and be able to eat them up or something. But, right. Yeah, I mean, I didn't, I wouldn't mind having a nickel back for every quarter I spent on Pac-Man, but it wasn't that much. But, you know.
Are you talking about the machines in the restaurants? Where
in stores.
Where you sat down and yeah. Okay.
Oh, no. I'm talking about the arcade, you know, the big arcade games.
Oh, yeah. The arcades. I'm sorry for calling you old, but you know what I meant. We're in the same generation. So you're talking about video arcade games.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't really. I think I was, like I said before, there were some, like Pong, which right now would just drive, you know, anyone to complete boredom, you know, because it was just, you had to follow that ball up and down.
Do you know which one I loved? How about Galaga? Was it Galaga? I loved Galaga. Is that how you say it, guys? Somebody help me on the team. Galaga, it's where you're shooting the missiles at the different things, and you get to different levels, and it had the planes that were shooting.
That one.
The Galaga, it was really popular. It was popular with Pac-Man. I don't know. Somebody help me out here. I think that's how you say it, but I used to love it. I got really good at it. Okay, we're admitting what we did with video games. Let's hear from Laura. And Laura's in Buffalo, New York. She's listening on the Station of the Cross. She's a first-time caller. Hi, Laura. Welcome.
Hi, Debbie. Hi, thanks. I just said I wanted to relay a positive story I have regarding video games. I have a teenage son who's right now 19 who has Asperger's. And so he's gotten involved in video games with his younger brother. And we just recently found out, my husband and I, my son was telling us that in the story that he's relating to us, we found out that he's actually developing project management skills. He plays a game that's called Minecraft, so it's a more strategic game. And he was explaining to my husband the other day that he was nervous in playing the game the next time he was going to be playing because he was going to be in charge of a whole platoon. And he said that had never happened to him before, where he was nervous of letting the other teammates on his team down because he was afraid he wasn't going to be able to lead them well. And we just realized that through this game, he's actually developing project management skills. And with the fact that he has Asperger's, which is a social deficiency disorder, he has a hard time relating to people. So this is actually a good way for him to develop those social skills that he, you know, that you would get out in the working world. And we thought it was a good way that he is actually developing the skills so that maybe he could put these skills to use in the working world. So it's a way that he can almost practice those skills. So I think that, you know, was very positive when he was explaining that to us.
Go ahead, Jerry, you first.
Actually, I was just reading an email.
Oh, you were?
Came in. Yes,
okay.
Sorry.
So, okay. No, okay. I'll go. I thought Jerry was going to speak, but Laura, I want to address this. So okay. It's teaching. Okay. So this is your teenage son with who has Asperger's, and the skills that he is learning. Let me just see if I get this right. The skills that he is obtaining from these different really detailed, intricate games are teaching him really good adult management skills, project management skills, so for future use. So he recognized that, or did somebody share that with him? I'm just curious.
We actually recognized that. My husband did. And then when my son was explaining it to my husband, how nervous he was getting about leading this platoon on this game. And then we both realized that, you know, this is like good, like management skills that he's mm-hmm. developing, because it's hard for him to relate in the real world. And my concern for him is, what is he going to do with the rest of his life in terms of what kind of career is he going to have? Because I never actually envisioned him being in like a corporate environment because of the Asperger's, because it's hard for him to figure out, strategies that people use against you, you know what I mean? So yeah, we thought that was really cool that he was actually, this game is allowing him to expand his social relationships that way. And I mean, it's not direct relationships, but it's almost like a way that he can practice them before he actually does get in the real world. Mm-hmm. And we do monitor his, we monitor his game time, and now we don't let him on the games like for, you know, super long time. And we watch what he's doing, our computers, our parents. We have, you know, parents' tools set up so that he can't get on any of these bad websites and stuff. Mm-hmm. But we just thought it was really cool that he was doing that with this game.
Yeah, well, and the reason why, you know, and say this is, and like anything, there's always a good use and a beneficial aspect to things that we encounter. And then there's always, you know, if it's taken to an extreme in a negative sense, you can always look at the negative side of it. And in this particular example with your son, I can relate to that. And I'll tell you why. My younger son, who was very good at video games, is extremely smart in critical thinking and processing things out, and he's got a real strong science background, and he attributes that to the video games as well. It's very interesting. So I can totally relate to that in that sense. And I guess maybe what you're saying, Laura, is we should really extract the positive things that can really benefit people, whether it's, you know, quick thinking or, you know, all sorts of stuff that can sharpen our skills as individuals, whether we're young or older with video games, and keep it in balance. But there is some benefit to it, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Interesting.
We were like really, really encouraging to us to know that he was relating to it in mm-hmm. the way he was relating to it. And because we are concerned, what is he going to do in terms of a career? Because he has to be able to deal with people. And through high school, it's been a challenge for him because it's hard for him to make friends. So he, you know, because I always tell him, like, people that he's playing with on these games with are not really your friends because, you know, you're not actually in front of them. But the skills that we saw that he was building, we were really encouraged by it. So I think it is, in some cases, it is a positive, video games are positive.
Positive,
not always negative, especially if you use it as a training tool. Because we do that in the corporate world, right? We have different computer programs to help train us.
That's true.
Yeah. Very really true. Hurt by it.
Great insight.
Laura, thank God that you've had this wonderful experience, this positive experience. And I was simply going to just kind of piggyback on what Debbie was saying and you, Laura. I mean, it's good training for being able to plan, to be able to think critically, to think ahead. You know, what are the next moves? What's going to happen, you know, after this happens? What's going to happen after that? And then to manage situations as they come along, because video mm-hmm. games provide you with a lot of different situations and crises and all of that. So, yeah, beautiful story, Laura. Thank you so much for being with us. Anything else you wanted to add?
You're welcome. No, that was about it.
Thank you, Laura.
I mean, I get frustrated with how everyone, a lot of times people are always discounting video games and how bad it is. And it can be bad. I don't allow my kids to play the violent video games. This is more of a, it's not really, people aren't really like real life. They're more like blocked people. Mm-hmm. So it's not... I don't like the violent video games. They're not allowed to play that. But I think, you know, video games are positive, and I think sometimes we discount them too much. And we don't give them, you know, video games the ability to do positive things in a kid's life, because we're always worried about how negative they are. And, you know, if they're monitored correctly and managed correctly, I think they can be extremely positive.
Wow. Great, great. Thank you, Laura. Thank you so very, very much. We appreciate your experience of this and your son's experience of it. Thank you so very much. It helped us. Okay, real quickly, we did get confirmation. I'm assuming it's Jeff Burson that's confirming this. I was pronouncing it wrong all these years. I used to say Galaga. Listen, I'm from New Jersey. It's Galaga. Have you heard of it?
No, I haven't. I still haven't heard of it. Well, now I have, yes. Actually, now I've heard of it.
I've been pronouncing it wrong for like 50 years. Thank you, if that was Jeff, for helping me with that. I appreciate it. It's Michael. Michael corrected me. Okay, Jerry, we have full phone lines. How quickly can we go? Let's go real fast.
Well,
and see if
we'll
we can
go
get
as fast
on.
As we can. We're talking about video games today, and do you play them? Do your kids play them? How much is too much? What kinds of video games? And we mentioned that this topic was proposed by a listener by the name of Alan, and he happens to actually be joining us right now. He has called in from Miami, Oklahoma, watching on YouTube today. Hi, Alan. Here's your program. Welcome.
Hi, Alan.
Hi, thank you. It's great. I'm glad to make it on. I had two things. I'll try to make it quick. The first thing is I took your idea, Debbie, about reading the Bible and praying before playing. And I tell you what, it's pretty awesome. So I wanted to actually finally read the full Bible, and that's what I just started doing before video games. And now... I'm way more excited about getting back to the Bible and getting back, like right now I'm on Exodus, and I'm more excited about getting back to that than the games. And I'm actually getting to the point where I end up reading the Bible for like an hour, and I'm like, you know what, I don't even need to be a play video game. I'm going to, you know, go in the other room and have dinner now.
right.
So I share that too.
I love it. And Alan, if you start reading the Bible and you have no one to discuss it with, feel free to shoot me an email, because I always love talking about different things and exploring, you know, what happened during that time and, you know, the audience that, you know, the audience at that time and what they were going through. So feel free at take2@ewtn.com, because I know sometimes when you're reading it, you just want to talk, you want to process it with somebody.
Oh, definitely. And,
thank you.
So the third thing, I'm going to try and be quick. So my comment on video games as a whole is that, and I grew up kind of a shy kid, and I think it could have been partially, and most of it was partially because of video games, because I didn't relate to many kids growing up. But I will say a few positives real quick. I think I heard it earlier about it helps with tests and other you know, with being able to examine and whatnot and understand stuff easier. And another positive, and this may be hard to believe, but if you play like a violent video game, and I'm not recommending people to play violent video games, but you can let your anger out into the game where it keeps you calmer in real life. And that's one thing that I have noticed for myself has helped me. But the negative, like I said, I will say is probably being shy, it's a little bit harder to carry conversation sometimes. So I think if people can just set a timer or limit themselves, and if they have kids that want to play games, just be like, all right, let's play some games. But you need to go out and actually, believe it or not, I actually did do a lot of exercise growing up, and I actually prefer to be with my family doing sports than video games, to be honest. Like, video games is kind of a lone wolf way of, like, entertaining yourself if there's no one around to play tennis, you know?
Right.
But I'm going to try and stop myself there because I can keep talking. I'll stop there.
No, Alan, that's great. You prefer exercise and being with your family and doing activities with them. That's beautiful. And also your love of the Bible and how you found yourself hungering more for the Word of God than for video games. And I think that's just a natural result of us wanting to actually making the step to spend more time in prayer with the Bible. And you know, when you think about it, Debbie, video games in some ways can't even compare to the Bible in terms of, you know, the Bible is full of mystery and intrigue. And all these things, that, you know, so I think so good to hear from you, Alan.
Though. Yes, Alan, thank you so much. And thank you for suggesting the topic. It was a two-parter, so that's a very successful topic. Please send more suggestions. And Alan, real quickly, Gigi, our book club administrator, she just invited you to the Inspired by Faith book club. So if you want to join, we do a lot of spiritual stuff. And so it might interest you. Go to Inspired by Faith Facebook book club.
Yeah, Facebook.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, awesome, thank you. Alan. Thank you. Thanks for the call. Still a lot of folks to try to get to here if we can. Stephen is going to be next. He was on hold yesterday, didn't get on the program, in Norwood, Massachusetts, listening on the Station of the Cross. Hi, Stephen. Welcome back.
Hello. This is Stephen from Norwood. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I just had a comment, really. I'm not a video game player myself. But I have a friend who's a psychiatrist, and we were talking about this once, and he was telling me that some of his classmates had been hired by these companies to enhance the addictive aspect of the behaviors involved in video game playing. And I do have a godson whose brother plays video games. Two things I noticed. One was he was able to get more friends. He was having trouble making friends. And he was able to have more friends in his life because of the kind of games that he possessed and the kids were interested in playing. But the other thing is I noticed a glazed look on his face often. He seems to be in another world. So I just wanted to make that short comment.
Mm. Well, Stephen, a couple things I would love to comment on. One, the peer affirmation or recognition, from my understanding, is super important in playing video games. You know, if you have the coolest one, if you have the latest one, if you score the highest out of, you know, all people in the world in your particular game or what have you. But you mentioned also the psychology of enhancing the addictive nature of this. And let's face it, you know, if these video game, how many of these video games, Debbie, do we see? And Steven, you know, it's now, what's the latest one? Call of Duty subtitle, Call of Duty new subtitle, Call of Duty, you know, Call of Duty 4, Call of Duty 5. You know, they wouldn't be able to sell these things if there wasn't something about them that made the players want to come back and to buy the other ones. You know, we've mastered this one. Now we got to tackle this next one.
Right. Right. It's a sense of achievement, too, I think. But, you know, Stephen, thank you so much for this take on this topic. But I have to say, when you talk about the glazed eye look, that always concerned me. And I raised two boys. I used to always see that glazed look, and it bothered me. I was always wondering, what are they just super, you know, processing real fast in their brains, or are they checking out, or, you know, where are they? And that's a very interesting experience, because you just don't really know what's really truly happening. There could be a lot of good happening, and then a lot of things being built up that you know, have these addictive natures. Real quickly, Stephen, what do you think?
Well, that's what I'm mainly concerned about, that there are professional people who are very knowledgeable, using their knowledge for bad purposes, I would say, that vulnerable people, younger boys especially, I see as very prone to using these things in an addictive manner that would be very detrimental to their future development. So right. I just wanted to bring that up. I was surprised to hear this from a friend of mine, but I thought it was an important point that I wanted to try to make.
Yeah, it's creating things that are targeted to certain age groups and so forth. I mean, I'm thinking of vaping, for example. You know, they
make these
with, you know, birthday cake flavor and lemon, all of these things, and then they want to sell these to kids who are going to, you know, think that they're, you know, being healthy by not smoking cigarettes, and then they're vaping, and we're seeing the results of that. So, and those are definitely targeted. So thank you, Stephen. Appreciate it. Craig, Josh, Dan, Marcella, I wish we could get to you. Please email us. We would do a part three, but we're not live tomorrow. Debbie, we had a special show we want people to listen to.
Yes, please tune in tomorrow, your normal time for take two. We have Adam Bly, religious demonologist, talking all about COVID-19, talking about the Triduum, talking about Easter. You want to hear this broadcast, so please make sure you tune in. And don't forget to like us on Facebook, Jerry and Debbie, and visit standtalltoday.com. We got a lot of things there for you as well. Jerry?
Yes, Debbie said, great show coming up tomorrow. It is pre-recorded, though, so let us take this opportunity from the entire show team and all of us at EWTN. A blessed Triduum. Happy Easter in advance. There's going to be a lot of special programming, so keep your radio here and your TV on EWTN. Have a beautiful and blessed Triduum and Easter.